We find in Parshas Bamidbar, not only do we have the counting of Klal Yisrael, we also have the exact encampment of how Klal Yisrael encamped. Beginning of Perek Beis, chapter 2, Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, "The children of Israel shall encamp each man by his banner according to the insignias of their father's household. At a distance surrounding the tent of meeting shall they encamp." And then it describes exactly which three tribes were on every side of the four sides. The Medrash, and this is in source number 2, and it's a Medrash that we've looked at in the past, and a number of the sources that we've seen in the past we'll see once again, but we'll see it within a little bit of a different structure, coming up with similar conclusions, yet with chidushim, with our own different ideas today to make this shir, albeit very similar to a shir we've done in the past, unique in its own right. It's a shir that one can really do every single year. It's so fundamental. It's so critical as an individual and as a group to work through these ideas, and I think we'll end with the Chiddush of the Baal HaFla, which will add a special flavor to this shir. The Medrash on this says, when Hashem revealed, this is source 2, his presence at Mount Sinai, he was accompanied by many legions of angels, each group of which had its own flag. When the Jews saw those flags, they said, "If only we too could have flags like the angels." Hashem pledged that they would eventually have flags, and that pledge materialized in this week's parsha. The entire Medrash is difficult to understand. The flag is a physical object. Angels are entirely spiritual. Why do angels need flags? Furthermore, why did the Jews yearn for flags just because the angels had them? Now, that's our overall question. Our second question, which Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that fell asked in Emes Yaakov in Source 3, "Vamnai himtinu l'sader tekdalim shana tmima etvaha." If they desire to have these flags, that they should be put in position, so why did it take close to a year? They saw this Imam in Har Sinai in Sivan. Our parsha begins in Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It's almost a year later. So if they so desire to have these flags, what took so long to get these flags? And finally, A, to understand what the flags are all about, what this encampment's about, B, why it took so long, and C, I think an important question, which we haven't really focused in on as much, is Parsha Bamidbar 9 times out of 10 is read before Shavuos, and we're mamish mounting up to this momentous occasion. How does the parsha, how does this section in particular, prepare us for the mindset of Mamet Har Sinai of receiving the Torah each and every year? So we can really understand flags on two levels. These are the classic two levels. And Nesiva Shalom explains, Source 4, that a flag represents the mission of a group that operates it. When Chazal taught that the angels came down with flags, they meant that each legion of angels had a specific mission, clearly defined. The flags demonstrated the purpose of each group of angels. You see this in when you're in Eretz Yisrael. When I drive to work very often, I pass by different machzomim, different places where they stand guard to make sure that those who are entering into Israel over the green line, so to speak, are ones who should be entering in. And you see that there's different groups of soldiers, of platoons, that are assigned to this place. And each group has their own flag. So aside from the flag of Israel, you have, you know, black with a green stripe or something, whatever it is. This group of soldiers has their flag, you know, found there. So this is the idea that within the larger, there are smaller groups, and each group has their own flag. And a flag, as we know, is a sign of identification. When the Jews saw those flags, they too wanted to have their specific and unique mission clearly defined. So the flags of the angels was a sense, says Nesiva Shalom, that they had a specific divine mission given to them. Their flag that they were waving. Jews wanted it too. For if there's one bracha in life, it's to know what one's tafkid's mission in this world. We all want to serve Hashem, but we wonder what capacity we should be serving Him. The flags defined for each tribe what their mission was. The flags continue to carry a message for us too. Because even today, although we are no longer our flags, we each one have a clearly defined mission in this world. It's through one specific mission that one can achieve greatness. And as Rav Eisenberger points out in Masils Bavavim, Each and every one of us has something that's specific for us to be able to taken v'lahashlim, that we are here to fix, to build in this world. And because of this, we are wired, so to speak, specific to these things that I'm able to do that no one else is able to do. And that's why, as he continues in Source 7, just like a malach has their specific mission, and in fact, the malach is called on their mission. We know it's by Yaakov Avinu, when he asks the malach, the angel, who fought with him, what's your name? He says, Lama zet yishal l'shmi? Why are you asking my name? My name depends on my mission. A name is the essence. Each angel has a specific mission. When the Jews saw the angels and the flags, what they were saying is, we also want a mission. We also want to have very concretely what we're doing in this world. And as the squiggly in 7 continues, V'ilu eitzol nashim yichudiyut mitbatein rak mibchinat ha-tafgid, she'tafgid hazeh nimsari la bibiladiyut. Each one of us has a mission in this world that nobody else can do. And we're obligated to do. So obviously, we're obligated to keep Torah mitzvot, and that's something that's universal among all Jews, and that we have a certain amount that we're expected to accomplish in this world, work on our midos, etc. Within that entire framework, there's something unique, there's something specific that we need to do, that we need to accomplish. And this is it. No two people are the same. Every person is given that which they need. And that's what they were yearning for. And indeed, we know, and this is a dot in Source 9, the Masils Yisharim, in his first chapter, tells us, Yisona Chasidus V'Shara Shavoda Tmima, the basis of what all of our fundamental, what all of our lives are about, who she's barir v'yisameid eitzel adam machovaso ba'olamo. Every person has to know what is their job, what is their chova, what is their obligation. Ba'olamo, ba'olamo ha'prati v'yichudi. We are all in olam ale. We are all not just in the world at large, but in my world. Every person is a mini world. I need to know, what am I supposed to accomplish? What am I supposed to do? And that's why this parasha is nitzlius. This parasha is eternal. Because what this parasha is telling us, ish al diglo, every person by their flag, is that each and every one of us has to find our flag. Each and every one of us has to find what makes us unique. Ein ba'olam intem shum adam kaful miyutar. There's no extras in this world, right? Even twins, who may look identical twins exactly alike, each one is unique, each one separate. Kol echad nivra le'ezet tzarech. Every person is created for a purpose. V'yesh lo tafkid miyuchad. And we have to fulfill that purpose. And he says, etzem yediyah zot she'esh lo tafkid yichudi mimritzat adam lifo v'lasot. This encourages a person to do. Because if a person doesn't feel like they have a tafkid in life, then they walk around life feeling like, oh, you know, I'm the fifth wheel on the carriage, nobody needs me, I have no point in this world, and despair, despondency, and depression, the D's start, you know, popping up, and it becomes a very, very sad sight. The Yesod HaYesodos, that's why I said this year can be given every year, every week, every day. The Yesod HaYesodos, what Yiddishkeit is about, is that every person is created for a purpose, every person has a mission. And as the Chidush Yerim notes in Source 11, Ki al kol adam nivra al davar miyuchad, mashi'i asher al adam acher lo takein raku, v'af al pikein kishani latzmi ma'ani sheikar lo vatel v'to l'klai Yisra. I have to realize my unique mission, and as we'll talk about today, I have to see my unique mission within the context of Klal Yisrael. And this is indeed the idea, he says, that, and he uses the word v'atafkid tafur l'chol adam. We call it tailor-made. Every person's life, every person's situation in their life, and the abilities that they're given, and the life situations that they're given, and the people that they meet, are all constructed exactly so that a person should be able to accomplish what they need to accomplish in this world. And that's what we need to understand. And that we need to open our eyes. Rabbi Tatz has a wonderful piece, we've done this in the past, of drawing a circle, writing in all your talents, all of your strengths in that circle. You're organized, you're empathic. empathic, you're outgoing, you're of leadership, everything that you are inside, and everything you're not on the outside, and then you have a sense of who you are. And then look at your life, look at the situations Hashem puts you in, and start using what's found in that circle. See what unique contribution you can make that nobody else can make. You know, in that new Haggadah that we had mentioned, Night of Emunah, he has a beautiful story about a very chashuv yid, Reb Ben Zion Klasko, who's involved in Kiruv. So at the beginning of the Haggadah, he tells the story, Rabbi Przanski, of how Rabbi Klasko, around 7 years ago, was Erev Pesach, was doing a Kiruv, he's at the Kiruv, doing a Kiruv in Austin, Texas. And his wife calls him up and tells him, Baruch Hashem, everyone's okay. The house burned down. Here it is, Erev Pesach, and they have no house. Like, where are they going to go? So the insurance company was ready to put them up in a hotel, but, you know, like one of these Motel 6s just doesn't cut it for Pesach. So they persuaded them to pay half of a Pesach, hotel program. We know what those cost. And Rabbi Klatsko offered to give shiurim to cover the other part of it. And they went for Pesach away. So while they were away, somebody from Project Inspire asked Rabbi Klatsko if he could speak at one of his programs. And Rabbi Klatsko at that point realized that, you know, And he started this program. He said, you know, Baruch Hashem, he had a community and he had the support that here they were, Erev Pesach, without a home, that they were able to put Pesach together. He says, how many people are without homes every Shabbos? How many people are alone, widowed, single, whatever it may be, divorced, who don't have a place to go and they may not have a community? And he started the program, Shabbos.com. which, since these last 7 years, have had over 400,000 people helped, where people volunteer their homes and people who need ask, and shiduchim are made. 400,000 people. You look at your life situation and you say, if Hashem put me here, what am I supposed to learn from it? How am I supposed to grow from it? And you can make major changes. This is our calling, to open our eyes and to be able to see what we can create in our lives. When we do this, and when we realize that we are unique and that we have something to contribute, and it doesn't have to be on such a grand scale, right? Every person is an olam. Every person is the world. So every time I impact another person, I've impacted the world. When I realize this power, Notzi O Moshe, quoting Rav Aaron Cutler in 12a, the Chayev Adam Lisponei V'Lakira Chashiva Sagdolo Sheyesh Bo Batzmuto, realize the Chashiva is the importance that we have. And when you realize this, you say, wow, what power I have. When I realize that the world needs me in a way that nobody else can do, that fills me with a tremendous amount of chashivas, that I realize that I'm important. I realize that I have something special that I can give. And he quotes here, from Rav Cutler, in the name of his father, of Aaron Cutler, who explained what we say in Rosh Hashanah, never too early to get ready. Ki zecher kol ha-yitzur lefanecha ba, the remembrance of every living being comes before you. Maise ish ufukudasa, the ways of a person and their accounting. Hakavanah shebiyom hadin mayinim b'maisav, on the yom hadin, the day of judgment, Hashem looks at our actions. Shekol echad, every person. Lu'umat masha nidrash v'menu al pitaf gido shabavaro yabal olam ubodkim kama hishlim mitoch mashu tal olam ad katav sitvara. You know what ma'isa ishu v'kudaso means? Hashem looks at our actions upikudato, and what he has envisioned we should be. He looks at what we've done. He says, oh, you're an empathic person, so I would expect that you will show empathy in X amount of cases, and we're held up. That's the Yom HaDin. We're held up. Are we living up to the expectations of Kadosh Baruch Hu has for the way He has envisioned us to be? When we have a certain vision of who we are, and we realize how important that vision is, then we're going to live up to it. and we're going to try to take every opportunity given to us and be able to fulfill it. As Reb Tzedakah Cohen in Sitka Satzadik points out in 12b, Ki Shein Shitzariach Adam Lamin B'Shem Yitzbarach Kach Tzariach Achar Kach Lamin Batzmo. Gevaldic idea. Just like we have an obligation first and foremost to believe in Hashem, second foremost, we have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe in the Kedusha, the Chashibos, the holiness, the intrinsic greatness that we have within us. That is the basis of what the human condition is about. That's what we're about. And that's why notes the Bir Moshe, the Ozer Rav Rav in 13. The Pasuk says, Ish al diglo, every man on his flag. V'tabush ayat v'rich lomar shevet al diglam. It should say every tribe by its flag. They didn't have a flag for every individual. They had a flag by every tribe. So why is it Ishal Diglo, every individual by his flag? Biran, however, this teaching us a very important principle. Obviously, we know we'll talk about Sunamir Sashem, the power of the klal. But this in no way diminishes the responsibility of everyone from Klal Yisrael. And that's what we have to understand. Ish al diglo, shalav lachshov, a person has to think. Shadego kulo hurat bishvilo, you know this flag of the tribe, it's for me. Umuvan may love Goda Achrayushu no Selatsmo. The tribe is counting on me and what I do. You understand what responsibility it is? Biyot kol adega talui rak bo? And this is what we know. Gemara Kedushin tells us, the world goes according to the majority. You do one mitzvah, you're turning the entire world for the side of favor. You do one favor, you turn the whole world to the side of, on the other side. Every person has to say to themselves, Bishvili Nivra Olam, for me the world was created, which means I'm a full world, and I have the ability to tip the world, not only me, to one extreme or the other. That's how he explains in Pirkei Avos when it said, L'ifnei ata atin liten din v'cheshbo, the din is how we have lo aleinu sinned against Hashem, and the cheshbon is, the counting is, what effect that has had on the entire world. So, my friends, if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed by this, then you're listening so well. It's not like, oh, I'm going to live my little life, you know, and I'm going to live my little house, and whatever I do is private between me and myself, and maybe Hashem a little bit. No. It is so important to understand that we are here for a purpose. We are here to build. And every action I do, and every action I do positively and or negatively, not only affects myself and my tafkid and my job, but affects the entire world. And I am held accountable for the entire world. And this is why the Aseret HaDibro, the Ten Commandments, are written B'Lashon Yochid, Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, that we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, kivyachol, a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And that's our Vitaskim world mass knows. One must strive to discover one's uniqueness. What is my particular task? What essential part of the universe is mine to build? And I have to be realistic about this, because if I'm building the wrong thing, not only does it affect me, it affects the entire structure. The Mishnah Yosef, Rav Lieberman, adds to this a very important nekuta. He says in Source 16, Mivu'ar b'tzifrei ha-Musa, it's brought down in the Musar Sfarim, Shelechol adam hagam shechayav lomod kolot Torah l'kayim kol mitzvoseh, even though we're obviously obligated to keep all the Torah and all the mitzvot, b'chol zot yesh lo tafkid minyucha ba'olam, we nevertheless have a specific job in this world. Ma shenishmato tzricha l'takein l'ishtalein b'yoto ba'olam hazeh, what his soul has to fix and to make perfect in this world. Hei mipartei limud Torah, whether it's in limud Torah, a certain style of learning, or we all have different mitzvahs that we have an affinity towards, and it's those mitzvahs that we have to try to perfect to the best of our ability. Im ben yinei chesed, or in tefillah v'chadomeh. Uminayin Yehidaha Da Matafkido. And if you've been wondering, he asks, well, how do I know what my tafkid is? How do I know what I'm supposed to be doing? Etzel Tzarich Largish. The answer he gives, we spoke about, look at your environment, look at your surroundings and be able to figure it out. He notes here in the bracket, Lema Nafsho Choshechet. Where are you drawn to? If you're drawn to doing chesed, so then chesed is an area of your strength. If every time the thought of chesed comes across your radar, you cringe and say, oi, people, I can't stand people. Oh my gosh, I have to talk to people. Then chesed is not on your radar, right? Right? You know, where do you feel a certain geschmack? Where do you feel a certain, wow, when you do this mitzvah? You have to be able to be attuned to this and be able to respond. And the second area is, where do you find success? If you see something that you're doing, Baruch Hashem, people enjoy it, people like it, people come back for more, people compliment you, you see you're successful, you want to continue. That's a sign, Mishamayim, that this is something, that this is tailor-made for you. This is where you have to work. And my friends, the real way to be successful in knowing this is you have to daven, Hareini Hashem Darkecha, Hashem, show me your way. Like Yidla Tachlina Mavukash, Hashem, help me. Help me feel, guide me, give me opportunities that I can succeed. Help me get a sense of what it is that I'm supposed to be doing in this world. Lo latot chas v'shom kol ha'chayim ibli lo taken et asher alav, el lo lecha b'derech ha'nechona tamid. Because you can live a whole life fooling yourself. You can live a whole life thinking that this is what I should be, when that's not where your kochos ha'nefesh lie. You have to be able to take what your strengths are. Yes, there's an aspect of working on your negative midos and perfecting them. That's not what we're talking about now. It's something totally different. What we're talking about is what you should put your emphasis on. And that is what your strengths are, what you're good at, what you enjoy, what you feel successful at. In that, build and make yours. Build a palace, build a place for Hashem to reside. There are other times that you're going to have to work on your negative midos and fixing them. But when it comes to your tafkid, it comes to what you're supposed to do. As the Siva Shalom said, there's one inyan in Asay Tov and one inyan in Asur Meira. There's something you have to work on in the negative, and there's something you have to work on in the positive. What we're talking about here is the positive. How do I know what to work on? So I don't take my weakest part of myself, right? I'm socially shy, and I'm going to make myself into the head of the chesed committee. No, that's not going to work. You have to take what you are strong in. You're strong in organizational skills, but not in people skills, so work in organizational skills. You're strong in this, but you're weak in. Work on what you're strong in. Everyone has to know, the kochos ha'nefesh, everyone has to know where their strengths lie. And it could be something small. I have a friend, or not so small, whose koa, whose talent is flower arrangements, and they're absolutely gorgeous. Do you know how many simchas she's hired to do, and she does for others as a chesed? This is her koach, this is her calling. She baruch Hashem successful, she enjoys it, it gives her chiyus, and this is what she does, and this is how she's able, A, to make up her nasa, and B, to be involved in chesed and helping other people out, whatever koach it is. And no, my friends, in 17, as Rav Achweigel Zatzal notes in Kovetz Sichos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on Mount Har Sinai, it says, Kol Hashem Bakoach, that Hashem came down, Bakoach, Lufi Kochol Shokol Echa Ve'echad, the Medrash and Shemot Rabba says, he came down with the strength that every person heard Hashem, depending on where they were at. And this is a binyan av, this is a message that Hashem only expects from us what we have the capabilities of doing. When he came down, he didn't expect his voice to overwhelm us on a level we couldn't handle. Whatever he wired us to be, that's what he expects of us. But we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of us are not beyond what we can do, but very much within what we can do. And hence we understand, as the Yesh Tamid points out in 18, why do I read this Parsha Erev Shavuot? us to realize the Tein Chalkeinu B'sar Secha. We all have a portion in Torah. Torah is not just Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Torah is Hashem's way of interacting with the world. Each and every one of us has a way to make this world a place of godliness. And there's a responsibility on each and every one of us to recognize that. Hashem comes down individually. B'loshon Yochi. Hashem speaks to each and every one of us, b'koach that we can handle. And that we have to understand Erev Shavuos, it's a time of a Yom Adim, a time of a self-judgment Shavuos, and ask ourselves, am I living up to my potential? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Not just Rosh Hashanah, we ask ourselves this question. Shavuos, Hashem gave a whole system of Torah and mitzvot. Where am I holding? Am I accomplishing what I could accomplish? And here, going back to Masilus Mavavav in 19, he says, one of the greatest challenges that we have is the Yetzer Hara comes down and says, you don't have anything to offer you. You're not musical. You're not artistic. You're not organized. You know what you are? You're plain. Just like plain yogurt. Like, you know, who likes plain yogurt? Like, what are you, I mean, you may like plain yogurt, that's fine. But, like, what do you have to offer? Nothing. You're a nobody. That's the worst thing that could happen. That a person feels like they're, you know, pushed aside. And he says, listen to this in 20, in the asterisk. And you know who's to blame? Berosh, at the top of the list, Horim u'mechanchim tipshim, foolish parents and foolish educators, who make it as the educational system and rule, like this is their mission. Let us show our children what they are not good at. I told you you're such a shlemiesel. I told you you can't play ball. I told you you can't learn. Just to put people down that they are absolutely nothing. And when a child hears over and over again that they are nothing, you know what happens after a while? They believe that they are nothing, and they can accomplish nothing. We know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, "Alti baz l'chol adam, alti mafli l'chol davar, shein l'chol adam, shein l'shav, l'chol davar, shein l'makom." There is nothing, nobody, and nothing that doesn't have a place, that doesn't have a purpose. And "Alti baz l'chol yalad," we should be light with every child. Not every child may be gifted with all the talents that we would want. But what we have to do is to find the talents that they do have and build them up to their best ability. 23, ki ein lecha adam shelo nimsa bo etz nekuda miyuchedet. There's nobody that doesn't have something that is specific to them. Shebebechina zu mamash chad bedara. He's like one in his generation. You want to know what your job is as a parent and there as a teacher? It's to find this. While it's still buried inside. See where they are successful. And try to not focus on that which is weak. You know, it just came to mind now, so I'm going to share this maisa. I remember teaching in a school until sixth grade, the Limudei Kodesh was co-ed. So I was teaching a class of boys and girls, a sixth grade class, Chumash, Navi, one of them. And I had quite a handful, and I was very young. This story happened close to 30 years ago. I am still young now, Baruch Hashem, but then I was, you know, pre-diaper age, yeah? And I remember I met a parent of one of these boys many years later. And she said to me, she says, you don't know, and I don't even remember this, but this is what the mother said to me. She said, you don't know how you saved my son. My son was not an academic boy, but he loved to doodle. He loved to draw. And apparently, this is what she said to me, so I'll take her word. She said, you encouraged him to draw. Draw what we're learning in Chumash. Don't take notes, just draw it. And you really made him feel wonderful about his capabilities of drawing. And in that way, instead of going through the year feeling like he's a loser, he was able to develop, hey, I have a talent that someone appreciates. I have a talent that I can also use in part of my learning. And it was such a Mussar Haskel, such a, you know, opens your eyes, that you have to really see what every child is capable and is not capable of. You know, we know that we teach, you know, the frontal learners, that's how we teach, and not everybody learns that way. We know that there's many, many different ways of learning, and we set our kids up for failure. That a kid who is not linguistic, but may be kinesthetic, or a kid who may be artistic, or whatever it may be in you know, the different realms, is going to fall through the cracks. The example that he gives, and it's a great example, listen closely. He says, imagine a little boy, a third, fourth grade boy, I'm doing 23 and so on, a little boy comes home, and the father says, what did you learn in Parsha? And the boy starts telling the stories the Rebbe told. And the father gets angry. He says, I don't want to hear stories. I don't want to hear Maisela. I want to hear what the Rebbe taught you. What's Pshat in the Parsha? And week after week this happens. This child has a real gift in telling stories. This is what the child loved. This is what we spoke about, Cheshkat Nafsho. This is what he desired. But the parent who's so into the intellectual learning, where's Pshat in the Parsha? Who needs the stories? It's going to squash and quell that aspect of this child. If he would develop, this is the strength of my child, he loves to tell stories, so he's going to grow up and he's going to be at the head of the table, Motzei Shabbos, telling the Sipurei Tzadikim, and people are going to be spellbound by him, and he's going to make, in his life, a tremendous ability to inspire people through storytelling. See what the kochos and nefesh of the child is, and instead of squashing them of what they're not, try to develop what they are. And he also says, we have to realize that we have so many opportunities to build people up, to make them feel good, and to highlight what they're good at with just a small sentence, not even children, could be friends. Somebody tells you something, and you say, you know, let's give a different example. This is not the example, obviously, Rav Eisenberg, but this is the example I'm going to give. You ask somebody, you know, I was at your house, it was such a delicious cake, could you give me the recipe? She gives you the recipe, and she tells you exactly how to measure it out, what order, how to make it. So you can say, well, thanks, that's amazing, you gave me such details. Or you can say, wow, you really have a chush, you really have an ability to give over so many details in such an organized way. Amazing. And you're building up a quality that she has. And then she comes back and says, hey, you know, I never thought about that. And then she's able to flex those muscles. And who knows what she can be able to do with it. Look for opportunities to build people up in their areas of strength. What does it take to compliment a person and to build them up? And he says, when we're talking about building people up, it's not just children and friends. We have to build ourselves up. Shekein Adam Sarich in the double on line 24 Lecham Nechgat Matzmo Tami V'chayav Lashri B'tocho Takara Bura She'ish Lo Tachli V'tafki Miucha Ba'olam Ki Lo Lo Tavu Nivra Elo Lufi She'ish Makom Mesuyam B'briya Sheshamu Mesugala So Mashav Echad Lo Yuchal. Oftentimes we have to give ourselves a pep talk if no one else is going to do it, right? We have to say, wow, you really could, you do this well. You can continue to do this. You have a place in this world. And with this, my friends, we can appreciate 25, Sof Dovar Kol Nishma, Shechelek Mavodat HaChanul Zman Matan Torteinu, that part of our preparation for getting the Torah, Hi Ayudia, it's the knowledge of Adiglo Alei Ahava, that Hashem has prepared with love my special degel, my special portion, Kol Echad Ahuv Bel Yonim B'Tachtonim M'Degel Shalo, every person's beloved in the higher and lower worlds with his flag, Vakivun Shalo B'Chayim, and his special color in life. The Keneged Zamra Torah Ishal Diglo, Shekol Yudi Hu Ba'al Yud V'Tachlin, everyone has a purpose in this world. Everyone has a job in this world. V'Tarich L'Gesh L'Kabbalos HaTorah M'Tahu Chagashah B'Diyah, person has to enter into Shavuos with the knowledge, with that fortitude. She'ein la'af echad, and no one else has this. Anochi akatan mekabel et haTorah ba'ofen yichudi. When I accept the Torah on Shavuos, I'm accepting it as an individual. My acceptance of the Torah is going to be different, and is different than everyone else. No matter how many people are accepting Torah. Va'ani, and if I won't be there, God forbid, there's going to be something missing in Torah Hashem. I am a unique piece of that puzzle. If you ever do 100, 10,000, 1,000 piece puzzle, and you're missing one piece, five pieces, the whole puzzle's ruined. I am an invaluable piece. That's how I have to enter into Shavuos. And the Omoshe 26 quotes a very famous Maisa. Rav Aharon HaGadol Mikarlin, Kayach Sof, he's very well known for that beautiful moving song. He writes that if Avraham Avinu would want to switch with him, he wouldn't switch with him. Why? He says, Zomar Harish Sof Kol Sof Yelak Rish Baruch Bo Lomor Rak Avraham Avinu Echad Rabbi Aharon HaGadol Echad. You see, Hashem created one Avraham Avinu and one Rabbi Aharon. In kei my nafkamina lo lakash baruchu mi Avraham Avinu mi Rabbi Aharon HaGadol. Does it really make a difference to Hashem who's Avraham Avinu, who's Rabbi Aharon HaGadol? Each one of us has our mission in life. Harayim yichafu Avraham Avinu Rabbi Aharon HaGadol b'shamayim lo yitzav klum. If they were to switch roles, wouldn't gain anything in heaven, because the job of Aharon of Karlin is to be like he could be. And it's, listen to this. Tzarich liyot hu lo pachot chashuv b'nei Hashem yitbarach mitafkido shel Avraham Avinu liyot kamo she'Avraham Avinu tzarich liyot. He is in no way diminished in Avraham Avinu and in his job. What Hashem wants for each and every one of us is that we should be the best we can be. And we shouldn't walk around saying, well, you know, my job isn't as great as somebody else's. It's irrelevant. Hashem wants each one of us to have Kvot Shamayim coming from us. And each one of our Kvot Shamayim is unique and special in this world. And we can't switch that for anything. And that is why the imagery, which will move us to our second idea, the imagery of my task, we've done this a number of times, brings. The imagery of Klal Yisrael is like an imagery of a very complex machine, where all the different parts of the machine have to work together in order for that the machine should function. And he says in 30, in an engine, for example, there may be a small screw in the carburetor, which is almost insignificant in terms of its intrinsic value. It may be worth less than the smallest coin, but without it, the engine does not run. And if that small screw were to fall out when the vehicle powered by that engine were inhospitable and dangerous place, it's like when I was in America recently, waves took me through, you know, Harlem, 125th Street, by myself at 10:30 at night, and I'm like, I hope this rental car is in good shape. Like, you know, there's certain places you don't want to land by yourself. Anyway, the hapless driver may feel it's worth the value of the entire vehicle. Without the tiny part, he has nothing at all. While the engine was running smoothly, that part was unconsidered and unappreciated. Now that it's missing, its value has become apparent. Systems, the asterisks in 30, which are set up in this way that all other parts are needed before any become relevant, have a unique quality. Each part manifests a paradoxical duality. Each part is at one, and at the same time nothing, and everything. Nothing is only a part without the rest of the system. It's utterly useless and everything, because when all the other parts are in place and functioning, it becomes essential and critical. Each part depends on all the others entirely. In this, it is utterly subservient, and yet all the parts depend on it. And that, it's utterly controlling. And that's what the Diglei Midbar are about. Each tribe occupies a specific position within the camp. The root of the formation lies in the fact that each tribe has a specific identity and function within the Jewish people, and therefore a specific place. With each tribe, each family has a specific and unique role, and so too each individual within each family. As the Jewish people were being formed, the uniqueness of each element within the nation was being laid down. This brings us to the second aspect of why did Klal Yisrael yearn and want these flags so badly. So one, they wanted to know what their place was. They wanted to know what their puzzle piece was in this world. They wanted to know what unique contribution they were going to have. Every person wants to feel valued, needed, necessary, and is giving and making a significant contribution. But there was something else about the angels that drew Klal Yisrael. The Siach Mordechai in 28 speaks about, as well as many of the Mefarshim, the power of the angels to be able to work with each other. Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Berurim, Kulam. And they all say, as one, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The angels are able to turn to each other and be able to be Mechabdim Zeh et Zeh. They're able, no, to name Rishud Zeh LaZeh. They give permission one to another. No angel tries to jump in front of the other angels. What was it that Klal Yisrael saw that drew them so much to wanting flags? It was the ability of the tribes to be able to, of the angels rather, to be able to work in tandem, to be able to be a cohesive group albeit being different, to be able to have that mutual respect one with each other. And Rav Kaufman in Mishchat Shemen knows this. He says, we know that the pasuk says, Isha diglobo tot levet avotam. Levet avotam, there were four different major tribes. And he notes that there are four different major localities in the world where Jews come from. And v'chol achad yisher b'diglo linhog min hagol ve'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And it's so important to keep your minhagim wherever you are to do what you were told to do. And he goes on to say, ובספרים הקדושים מבואר הרבה נקודה זו. You find this a lot in the ספרים. שאנו רואים בכללות העם היהודי לדורותיהם שבני כל מדינה ומדינה נהגו לעצמם מנהגים שונים. Every group has their own minhagim, and they daven in different nuschos, and everyone holds on to the minhag of their father, ish al diglo. It's not to take a different minhag, but to be able to accept the minhagim that you have. So you see this so often at a wedding. At a Sephardi wedding, very often you'll see the chasan and kalos stand under one talus together. At other weddings, you'll see the yeki weddings that they don't wear a kittel, that they say a shira malos to the chasan and kala. That at Sephardi weddings, very often you'll see them saying a bracha borimemi besamin, whatever it is, right? They don't have a bedek in most Sephardi weddings. Everyone has their customs, and nobody can say, well, my customs better than your customs. No, each one had their flag. Each Eda, each group has their customs that they need to hold on with pride. And as Rav Dessler notes in 34 in the asterisk, Lo yachshov eish b'libo sheyesh b'zeh mishum machloket v'avardat kitot kitot mechamat eva. This is not, God forbid, because people can't get along. Chas v'shalom marke. Ela pashut shematarat kulam echad hi lavodat Hashem l'kayim mitzvotav. It's all the same wedding. It's all serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol drachim v'minagim mobilim l'shemur echad mochadet. They're all leading to one path. And that's what the Diglei Midbar was about, was teaching Klal Yisrael. We are surrounded by the Mishkan. We're surrounded by serving Hashem. Each tribe, each, you know, group, where they come from, the Yekis, the Sephardim, the Hasidim, and within the Hasidim, they have different customs. And each one is their unique way of serving Hashem. The way the Chafetz Chaim gave as a mashal at the end of 34, is if you had an army. No army ever has just one type of group, right? Just Chel Avir, just Air Force, or just Chel Hayam, or just the Navy, or just the foot soldiers. They have many different. You have the tanks, and you have the Air Force, and you have the all of different parts of the army. Why? Because each one of them needs to be able to fight in a different way. All these different minhagim, all these different things are not in contradiction to each other, but they're complementing each other in the service of Hashem. And they're all what makes us special in our avodas Hashem. And that's what we need to realize. And this is the Aretz Tzatzeinu in 31a says, V'lachen kashir natan Kadosh Baruch Hu Torah la'am Yisrael nitna basis achdus ha'matara shel avodas Hashem. When Hashem gave us the Torah, it was in order to serve Him. Achdus sheba lidei bitui b'lev echad shepa'am ba'am b'sham matan Torah lamrot chalukat ha'shvatim, even though every shevet had their way of serving Hashem. It's one Torah, it's one halacha, but how you're going to implement it, how you're going to have that wedding, is going to be manifested in many different ways. We might also suggest, Rabbi Fran, the reason why Parashas Bamidbar precedes Shavuos is because unity is a prerequisite to receive the Torah. In order for a Torah society to work, each group within the society must be keenly aware of where its mission lies and not be jealous or try to imitate other groups. If each member of Klal Yisrael is constantly thinking, I want the guy's job, or why should he be entitled to learn all day, society will crumble. The greatness of Erev Shavuos is to be able to appreciate the complexity and the diversity of Klal Yisrael. And we receive the Torah ki'ish echad b'lev echad, with oneness, that we all have 12 different tribes, 12 different ways of approaching this oneness, but they're all a manifestation of the same reality of being able to serve Hashem. And that's what we need to understand. The Ohr Moshe gives, in my mind, I was very struck by this imagery. He says it's like a tree. where a tree has one trunk with many different branches, and from the branches come many different leaves and many different sizes and colors of fruit. But it's a one trunk, and that's Kleiso. We have one Torah, and from there comes diversity, but it's not diversity that's different. It's diversity that's coming from the same core. But it's going to be manifested. Every branch, every leaf has its own uniqueness, has its own beauty. And that answers our question, says the Emes LeYaakov in 39a and b. And in 40, he says this is the whole idea of what the, why we had to wait an entire year. Why not just give them a tomb right away? Because had they got the Degolim right away, they would have been missing the most crucial factor that they need. What was the beauty of the Malachim? V'kulam notim v'shut zela zela hakdish liyotra v'nacha ruach v'safa v'ruach v'nima kedusha kulam ke'echad onim v'omrim v'yira. They were able together to praise God. You need to have that focal point. You need to have that ability to have Hashem as a center. What did Klal Yisrael need to ensure that all of their encampments would be not out of payroll, out of disunity, but to ensure that they'd be unified? They needed to have one core. That core is the Torah, and that core is the Mishkan. All of the tribes were facing the Mishkan. The Mishkan always traveled in the middle. The Torah was found in the Aron, in the Mishkan. Everyone gave a half a shekel in order to build the Mishkan. It was a place that was a unifying factor, that when all Klal Yisrael are going to come together to contribute to this Mishkan, to build this Mishkan together, they are unified around one place, and that one place represents service of Hashem. And that's what we know. We know Laor Hakarazu 41a, Lo Titachen Chite Benem Kinavatachward. There is going to be no jealousy. Share Kolachari Ben, Mevin Shaloso Bovache, Nechsari De Zulto Alo Adraba. Everyone realizes that they're not losing out because of another person, but Fakir, they need the other person to be able to have the unity and the completeness in Klal Yisrael. This is the image right before Mamet Har Sinai. We have to step back, Parshat Bamidbar, and say, you know what the beauty of Klal Yisrael is? Yes, each and every one of us receives the Torah individually, 100%. But you know what? We also receive the Torah within our group, within our minhagim, within that which makes us unique and special, within our foods that are special, within our minhagim that are special, within our nusach ha-tfilah that's special. And I have that ability to appreciate all the different groups. And not to say one group is better than another group, but not to be judgmental, but to realize we all encamped around one Mishkan, because we all serve one Ribbono Shel Olam, and we each serve him from a different place. But here, my friends, I think we come to the real punchline of today. Yes, the Golim, the Medrash is teaching us the importance of Kol Yachid V'Yachid, every individual. Yes, the Medrash is teaching us of the Degolim and the Malachim, the importance of every group as a group being able to get along with each other. I think the core, and we've touched on it as we've been speaking today, and I want to just highlight it here, is that every individual needs to find themselves within the community. And every individual needs to realize that what my role is in life is very much going to affect the community and how the community is going to function. And a person has to be in their tafkid and in their avodas Hashem, honest with themselves exactly where they are. For a screw to stay in the carburetor, you know, I'm tired of being a screw today. You know, I don't know anything about carburetor. If I saw one, I wouldn't even know what it was, right? Some chunk of metal. But you know, I want to be this part. The whole car's going to fall apart. You have to know where your part is. You can develop that screw. You can make it stronger. You can allow it to have more. You can do a lot of things with it. But recognize where your part is. And he brings here from Rav Gedalia Rabinowitz in Source 43 that just like when a Kohen which checked an animal, and he was thinking that he would eat it outside the appropriate time, or outside the appropriate place. Those people, it was unaccepted korban. He said, likewise, when a person does a avodas Hashem, and they think, oh, I wish I was in a different place, or I wish I was in a different level, it's posel your avoda. Be makir emekomo. Vaklahu pashum ma'od. Notes the Rav Goffman and Mishkat Shemin. Shitzarir kol ish Yisrael leidah mekomo mamado shua meit baruch shav. You have to know, 43, the asterisks, where you're standing now. Umimakom zeh yavodat Hashem acholi bovel ublenafsho. And serve Hashem. And be able to be smart how you grow, how you move on. And that don't try to jump to places that are way beyond you. Umikach yomad kol ish Yisrael, 45, l'gabei avodat ha-kodesh shelo. Shitzarich lo sim lev shelo li davo l'madrigot she'inam shelo. Don't desire, if you're a regular bacher, oh, I'm going to be the Rosh Yeshiva, and start walking around as if you're the Rosh Yeshiva. V'lo l'chapeis bailos avodot ha-sheichim l'achemim. And don't start taking on things that are not really a reflection of you, and who you are, and where you're holding. Step by step, where you're at, what's appropriate for you. You know, you may have a friend who always has a tanis dibur, will never talk, and they're very careful about what they say. Well, that's where they're holding. If that's not anywhere near where you're holding, to have a tanis dibur and not speak all day, it's inappropriate. It's jumping to levels that you're not on. And it's just going to have you collapse and the whole structure collapse. And it reminds me of the mice that we've spoken about before. It always resonates in my head in giving advice to my students. Where a bacher came over Rav Lubi Zatzal and said to him, you know, I'm very disappointed. I took on myself on Rosh Hashanah that my Kabbalah is, I have more Kavanah and Tefillah, and I'm just failing. Rav Lubi says, you can't take that on. That's way too much. Take on Kavanah and Tefillah? Whoa! Okay, I'll take on Kavanah and Shemoneh Esrei. No, way too much. Okay, I'll take on Kavanah and Pesukim Simra. Way too much. I'll take on Kavanah and Birkos HaShachar. Way too much. So he turns to him and he says, well, what should I take on? He says, take on Baruch. The Baruch in Birkos HaShachar. Start with that. And then if you've learned Rav Rabbi Alishur, that's Mamish Shita. Start small. Tafast ruba lo tafasta. You're trying to do a lot. You're going to accomplish nothing. You start with Baruch, and then you do Baruch Ata, and then Baruch Ata Hashem, and you build up slowly. Know your place to think that today I can take on all of Tefillah and have Kavanah all Tefillah. It's not on my level. I'm not holding there. Rabosa, I listened to this idea. It's mamish gavaldik, and with this we're going to end. We know Mamet Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going up to this point, Aaron to this point, every group of people up to their point. And over again, he tells the people, Hagbel et ta'am, make sure there's a boundary around the mountain. And again, Reid ha'ed ba'ha'am pen yersu el Hashem l'rov v'nafal men arav. Very careful. Make sure no one's going to try to jump over the mountain and many people are going to die. Which means don't try to ascend to great levels of holiness if you're not there. It's just going to cause destruction. Listen to the chiddush of the Baal Hafla. It's wild. I've never seen this before and it has so many implications. He says, I'm going to do it inside. She'inyan azharazu haya, what does it mean? Go warn the people that they shouldn't go up. Shemoshe Rabbeinu Lava Shalom, the bracket of 45. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his wisdom, Hayayotea Rucho Shokolacham Yisrael, he was able to look at, and we know Tzaddikim until today are able to do that, able, or past generation, to look at it's that person and know exactly what level of Sitkos they're on. Vayamami Rekol Ish Ve'ish Lfi Otzem Korach Sichlo Vaslegatoshu Chalit Karev Lashem Yisbarach Yotea. It wasn't Stam, the people standing at Har Sinai. They were standing according to order of ability to able to take in this experience of revelation. That's why if they would move any closer, they wouldn't be able to handle the intensity that was found in a different row. It was almost like, you know, every few rows had, you know, more intense light, less, exactly what a person can handle. You move to the, you know, a higher row, the radiation there is just too high. You're in a blow. It's electricity is too hot. v'lo'od. Listen to this. Listen to this. Elo shelo haya be'efshari l'chok katam v'katam Yisrael shikabel ba'atzmo. Elo ayidei hitkashrut Yisrael zeh bazeh. The only way regular, simple people were able to really have a Mamon Har Sinai was they gained from being attached to the person who was near them. Almost like the first major domino, lahavdil. Every person gave off energy to the person behind them, enabling them to be able to accept whatever Torah they were. And therefore, if you move up, not only are you destroying yourself, right, you're going to blow yourself up in radiation, but if you move up, you are then going to affect all the people behind you, that they're not going to be able to receive the revelation on any level because you broke the chain. And therefore, if you decide to move up, not only have you caused destruction for yourself, but you've affected all those people who needed you to be part of the chain to be able to take in the revelation. Rabosai, that is the mindset of Parshas Bamidbar that we need to walk in with Erev Shavuos. If I think that I am just myself, I've missed it. We know this is a very famous idea that except for one exception in Parshas Hazinu, no letter in the Hebrew alphabet stands by itself, unlike the romantic languages. Like a boy went to the store, and in Spanish, why? And again in English, I. Some letters stand by themselves, again with one exception, and hey, for Hashem's name doesn't count, it's something that we've created. No letter stands by itself. You know why? Because no Jew can stand by themselves. Every letter of Sefer Torah corresponds to a Jew, right? Yeshi Shiribo, you know, Elsios Batara, Yisrael, Batara. We are all a letter in the Sefer Torah. We are all interconnected. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is my letter? Any letter that's cracked or chipped, the whole Sefer Torah is puzzle. That little Aleph, who cares about the little Aleph? Who cares about the little Yud? He's so tiny. He's cracked. It's puzzle. If we don't do our mission, the whole Sefer Torah is affected. So we need to be the best Aleph or the best Shin or whatever level we are to the best of our ability. And then I need to ask myself, well, what word am I in? What section am I in? What's my larger sentence? What am I contributing to my nuclear family? What am I contributing to my community? What am I contributing to my larger community? What am I contributing to the world? Because every letter is part of a word, and every word is part of a sentence, and every sentence is part of a paragraph, and every paragraph is part of a larger section. And that, my friend, has to be our mindset. Understanding uniqueness, the Digle Midbar, is for all of us. We are unique. We are special. Am Yisrael is unique and special. Every word has power. And to see what my place is in this structure, and to ask myself, what am I able and need to accomplish in the world around me, in the kochos hanefesh I was given? And if I decide to work on something that's not my kochos hanefesh, not only have I affected myself, I've affected my letters, my words around me, and everything becomes mishubash, everything becomes mixed up and scrambled, and it's so much harder for everyone else to be the best Eved Hashem they can be. So the real Zach of Kabbalah Torah is that each and every one of us is receiving it as an individual, and each and every one of us is receiving it with a responsibility for the klal, responsibility for the nation as a whole. Horeini Hashem Darkecho, Necheini Baruch Mishur. We need to daven to Hashem that we should be successful to lead us on the right path, that we know what we're supposed to be doing in life, and be able to make the contribution that Kodesh Baruch Hu envisioned, and do it to the fullest of our capabilities.